Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever.
Hi, I'm Mick McDonald.
And I'm Samantha Delgado.
And we're so glad you're back with us on the V Foundation for Cancer Researchers Voices for Victory podcast.
Each episode, you'll hear stories of how cancer has affected the lives of so many people. We'll speak with folks who have been touched by cancer in some way or leading cutting-edge cancer research, and sometimes both.
In Jim's famous ESPY speech, he said there are three things in life that are most important to him: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. We want to hear from many different voices about why it's so important we achieve victory over cancer.
Today, our guest is Pittsburgh Steelers star defensive lineman Cam Hayward.
Cam is a three-time Pro Bowler and has twice been selected as a first-team All-Pro. His dad, Ironhead Craig Hayward, was also a Pro Bowler in his 11-year NFL career. Unfortunately, Craig was diagnosed with cancer, which ended his career at age 32. He eventually passed away from cancer in 2006 at just 39 years old. Today, we chat with Cam about growing up with a dad in the NFL, advice he'd give to anyone else with a parent going through cancer, and how his dad's passing motivated him to give back.
And now, our conversation with Cam Hayward.
And I always have to think about what's important in life is to think to me of three things: where you started, where you are, and where you're going to be. Those are the three things that I try and do every day.
We're now joined on the Voices for Victory podcast by three-time Pro Bowler from the Pittsburgh Steelers, defensive lineman Cam Hayward. Cam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
I want to start in talking a little bit about your dad. I think anyone who follows the NFL or sports in general probably knows about your dad. You know, Ironhead Craig Hayward was a great fullback and running back in the late 80s and 90s. So just to start with, what was it like growing up with a dad who was, you know, such a well-known athlete playing professional sports?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I never really even viewed my dad as a, you know, a pro athlete. I just thought he was my dad. He was my best friend. You know, going into different locker rooms and interacting with all the different faces. You know, I remember times where I remember, like, it was like my dad's 10th or 11th year. He was with Indianapolis, and that was Peyton Manning's first year. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. Like, you know, this is, I just thought he was one of my dad's friends. And, you know, I remember my mom and dad telling me he was going to be a heck of a player. And years down the road, look what we're looking at now. You know, I was very fortunate, and my dad would always take me everywhere he went. But, you know, I always viewed my dad as just my best friend and someone I could always count on.
Yeah, and you've talked a lot about how great of a personality your dad had. I read in an article that you wrote for the Players Tribune that one time he wore an all-gold satin suit to your middle school assembly, which is amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So how would you describe him to someone who didn't know him?
I would definitely say he was a life of the party. You know, that day is just, I was truly embarrassed. You know, every middle school kid thinks they're
yeah,
the coolest thing ever. But when my dad came in, everybody else thought he was really cool, but I'm thinking, I'm just embarrassed. I couldn't believe he did that. But, you know, he always left those lasting imprints with people. You know, being back in Pittsburgh, a city where, you know, my dad grew up and went to college in, you know, I always get to hear about the stories and about, you know, the interactions he had with people at, you know, Children's Hospital or, you know, just everyday people. And he did a great job of always having moments with people and always, you know, making people remember those times. You know, it's crazy to think like 20 or 30 years ago, you know, and these people just, you know, rattle off these stories. And I'm just fortunate to have those because it's like his legacy lives on.
And, you know, I think it's pretty well known about how great he was doing stuff in the community and all that. And I think you've done a great job, Cam, of making sure people remember that. One of the other things about your dad that's kind of makes him a legend, I think, is, you know, the nickname, you know, Ironhead, one of the best sports nicknames of all time, I think, without right. question. You know, throughout his career, I think there were always a lot of different rumors and stories floating about how he got the name. And, you know, in that Players Tribune piece that Samantha mentioned, which I would encourage anyone to go read, it's from 2016. Just go to the Players Tribune website, search Cam Hayward. Definitely worth a read. It's a really nice tribute to your dad, Cam, I think. But In that story, you also kind of give the behind the scenes true story about how your dad finally about how he got the Ironhead nickname. Can you give our listeners kind of the behind the scenes of how he did actually get the nickname Ironhead?
Definitely. You know, I think it's funny because it doesn't even pertain to just football. You know, he got it because at a boys and girls club, someone snapped a pool cue on his head. And he went home that day, and my grandmother called him Ironhead, and it just took on a life of its own. You know, and the funny thing is, I've been working with Boys and Girls Club and saying, you know, you're the reason for my dad's nickname this whole time. The NFL can't even claim that.
That's so funny too, because everyone thinks about your dad as this tough, bruising, you know, fullback, and I think people probably assume that that's from football at some point in life. And the fact it was just some other kid decided to snap a pool cue over your dad's head, I just think it's hilarious too. Has anyone ever snapped a pool cue over your head? How would that go for you if that ever happened to you?
I can say there has not been a pool cue snapped on my head, and if there was, you know, I don't know if there would even be a chance to even get a nickname because I'd be so mad.
Yeah, you don't seem like the type where anyone's going to come up and decide they're going to break a pool. Not that your dad was either, but most guys your size aren't getting pool cues snapped over their heads, I would guess.
Right. That's amazing. So, Cam, your dad was first diagnosed with cancer in 1998, which unfortunately ended his playing career.
Right.
Can you walk us through how difficult that was for him to have his career taken from him so early on?
You know, he played 11 years in the NFL. And I think, you know, I look back and I talk to my mom about it. You know, it was pretty tough to have such a joy taken away from him. You know, I think it all started when he was experiencing blurred vision. And, you know, he got checked out by the doctors, and they ended up finding a tumor behind his right eye. They were able to remove it. It was benign at the time, and it left him blind in his right eye. You know, with the tough decision that he had to retire, it gave him more of an opportunity to be around me and my brothers a lot more. And, you know, I'd like to think, you know, when one door closes, another door opens, and, you know, my dad totally sees that. You know, I can, you know, retell a lot of stories about him always being at my basketball and football games. He was always the loudest. You know, my dad's been kicked out of, you know, football leagues because he's so loud on the sideline. He doesn't like to be a coach, but likes to be a fan and get all into it. But, you know, when all that stuff happened the first time, you know, it didn't stop him from driving. My dad continued to just live life. You know, I know it hurt him, football being taken away, but he wasn't just going to sulk and let that absorb his life.
And I think that probably says something about his personality that you talked about before, that, you know, this thing that he loved, that he had, you know, done his whole life, you know, he had a great long career, but still, you know, you want to go on your own terms. To have that taken from you, you know, like you said, it could be a negative thing that kind of affects you the remainder of your life. But for him to kind of take it as a glass half full, hey, I get to spend more time with my kids. I get to go get kicked out of Cam's football games. You know, I think that says a lot about his personality.
Yeah, you know, and even the second time around, you know, he experienced a stroke, which then left him paralyzed on his right side. You know, again, he could have felt sorry for himself, but his goal was to get to a point where he was able to walk for my senior day of football. Obviously, he didn't make it, and it was tough on all of us, but through that, we always understood that, you know, he wasn't just going to feel sorry for himself. He was going to continue to just keep working and get to a point where he was going to be able to walk. You know, even when he always had goals in mind and he always cared about the people he loved.
You mentioned the stroke that he had, and then, you know, he eventually, of course, passed away in 2006. Mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned he was, you talked about how much of he was just a fun, lovable, positive guy, always having goals. How hard was it for you guys, you know, when he got down to kind of the end of his time, how hard was it for you to try to like be positive, keep things light towards the end? Because that's, you know, that's clearly the kind of guy that he was.
Yeah. You know, the second time around when he experienced the stroke and we found out the tumor came back, you know, it was a little bit shocking for us. You know, you think, oh, if you beat cancer, you should be done. But, you know, to go through that process again was tough alone. And this time it left him paralyzed on his right side and not able to verbally talk with us. So it was a little bit more challenging that time around. And we kind of had to rally around to make sure we could, you know, still see him and be there for him. You know, when he eventually passed away, I was away at a basketball tournament, and my mom had to muster up the strength to even tell me. And it was very tough for us to, you know, go through a moment like that. Someone who's been the rock of our family, but it almost made all of us step up in different ways. Whether my mom being not only our mom, but being our dad as well, and being our rock that we relied on, caring for everybody, and me and my brothers having to grow up a little bit quicker without our dads, and you know, just be there for each other a lot more.
Yeah, it takes such strength to go through something like that. I can't even imagine. And, you know, coming together as a family, I'm sure helped you get through that. Mm-hmm. And so, Cam, after your dad was diagnosed and eventually he passed away from the cancer, what really encouraged you to support cancer research?
You know, I think as I got into the NFL and I got to see a lot of, you know, cool guys that cared about the community and had things near and dear to their heart that they wanted to, you know, give back, whether it was Brett Kiesel. You know, he does this thing called the Shear the Beard where, you know, he shaves his beard for Children's Hospital and they raise a lot of money. Or Troy Polamalu, always giving back to his native islands. You know, or even Aaron Smith, whose son had leukemia, where he he did a walk to, you know, raise money and raise research. So seeing that play out, I think helped me a lot. And I always knew I wanted to give back to kids and also to cancer research just because, you know, I was a kid and I was always in the hospital as a kid. And, you know, I had great doctors and nurses that helped me along the way. But cancer research, just because my dad had been affected by that. And I, on a regular day, my dad would, you know, visit other patients and just interact with them.
Yeah. And I think Cam, one thing too, you mentioned, you know, how your family was shocked when it came back. And I think that's tough for a lot of people. And the hope is that some of the research that, you know, scientists are working on is, you know, once you can get rid of that cancer, you can keep it away, you know? And I think that's it, 'cause you get through that first battle and that fight and you've kind of like got that sigh of relief to then have it come back is just can be just heartbreaking.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, it's a tough toll to even go through it the first round, let alone go through a second round. You know, the chances go up as of right now, but you know, it takes a burden on a family, and it's nothing I would wish on anybody.
And you know, unfortunately, there's far too many people that are still going through or have gone through a similar situation like you did where they're losing a parent to cancer. What advice would you give to someone to kind of help them get through having a parent diagnosed with cancer?
You know, I would say everybody goes through it differently. You know, I was a little bit more a reserve type, kept myself a little bit after it happened. But, you know, I had a good support system around me that kind of, you know, helped me bounce back. You know, I kind of relied on my mom a lot. You know, this is my senior year going to college and I was trying to pick a school. And my mom was literally, it felt like she was my agent choosing my school. You know, she had literally down to the T, what I needed, what should I be looking for. You think your dad should have all the cheat codes or the answers going into the next level. But I felt like my mom prepared me and, steered me in the right direction in choosing Ohio State. And so I just tell people, rely on your support system and make sure, you listen, because from an exterior point of view, they're going to have a lot more to say and see what you're going through.
That's great advice. And, it's obvious that giving back is something that's really important to you, in addition to family and that support system, and especially with the creation of the Hayward House.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's so important to you?
Yeah, the Hayward House, we got started over 5 years ago, and I gave you guys the background information of what my thinking was going forward. But we are able to help a lot of people, a lot of youth at risk. We work with kids with asthma as well. We work with the Southeastern Brain Tumor Association. These are things that are near and dear to my heart. We've worked with Boys and Girls Club. Funny how that all works out, and we get to help them out as they've helped my dad out when he was getting knocked over by a pool cue. But, we get to do a lot of fun things. We've, done shoe drives and book bag drives. We didn't get to do it this year, but we always do a big birthday club where we get a lot of kids that have been through foster systems and, are dealing with a lot with their families. And we just celebrate their birthdays at, like, a local Dave and Buster's, because some of these kids don't even get to interact with people, or those kids don't get a chance to really be kids sometimes, so we like to do something a little bit special for them. But a big initiative that we were kicking off this past year was Craig's Closet. And my dad always had a thing, he only had one suit throughout high school and college because that's all he could afford. So with the help of a lot of great people in Pittsburgh, and a lot of donations, we were able to provide a lot of suits for young men that were, looking for suits for job interviews, prom, college interviews, all these different things that are pretty important in a young man's life, that we like to think that if you look good, you feel good. So, we've had a lot of success. And, through this pandemic, we've worked with Boys and Girls Club, making hygiene and food buckets for families. So we get a lot of work done, but it's all for a lot of people that need it.
Yeah, and it's clear how passionate you are about all the different things that you're involved with there, Cam, which is just, it's really great to see. And I think you're clearly a leader in that area as well. And, I think that, you've been lucky enough in your entire NFL career to have one coach, which I think most people probably can't say. You've been able to play for Mike Tomlin your whole career, and who's obviously a great leader. You can tell that from the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. But what is it about Coach Tomlin that impresses you most when it comes to being a leader?
I think, there's two things I really look for. In adverse situations, he's very steady. I don't think he's not looking to throw the whole playbook out and completely change the way we play. As a leader, you have to be able to set a precedence and, make sure the guys can rally around you, and you have to remain calm in those situations. And I think the other thing he does is he's consistent with that. From the beginning of off season till the end of the season, he has preached the same message. And I think that resonates with a lot of older guys and younger guys, because that consistency can be brought through anywhere in our organization, in our staff, through each player. They know what's expected of them. He challenges us, and he's honest with us as well.
Well, you've certainly carved out a fantastic career in the NFL. And I'm curious, was it difficult at all for you to be the son of a former player? Were there any expectations that were more than others?
Well, it's a little bit trickier when I play defense and he played offense.
Sure.
You know, I think I kind of avoided that by going to the defensive side of the ball. You know, I think a lot of people say I'm like the spinning image of my dad when they look at me. But I'm not as I can be the life of the party, but I don't choose to be the life of the party always. So, you know, I think that's the big thing that's different. And I get that from, you know, older guys, older coaches that may have played with my dad over the times, and they got a lot of stories to tell me.
So no, all gold satin suits for you?
No. Only if my kids act up, you know, that's what I got my dad. So, you know, let's say they don't do their homework and, you know, they need their dad to come in and, you know, talk to the teacher. There might be a gold satin suit waiting for them.
Cam, you mentioned earlier, and I think most people know that you attended the Ohio State University. Yes, and I have to say it that way because my wonderful wife is also a Buckeye. She was there around the same time as you. So she's very excited to listen to this podcast when it comes out. And she wanted me to say O-H.
I-O.
There you go. I'm going to get some big props from the in-laws and all our friends back in Ohio for that. So I know you talked a little bit about your mom kind of being the one that guided you through that. You know, you had just lost your dad when you were deciding, making your college decision. What was it about Ohio State that kind of led you to go there? And then looking back now, what's your favorite memory of being in Columbus?
Well, I got to mention my wife's an Ohio State Buckeye as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I got to get my cool points too. But, you know, I look back on it, and man, the thing I love about Coach Tress was he didn't just care about the player you were. He cared about the person you were. And, you know, he looked to, you know, invest in every part of your life, whether it was your faith, your books, your schoolwork, you know, playing football, and then just being a good person. You know, the cool thing we did every day, we have these big books that were called winner's manuals. And every day for 15 minutes, we would have quiet time. And that was a time for you to just be thankful and gratitude. And you would write down goals, short-term goals, not and long-term goals. And then just what you're thankful for and, you know, who are your heroes today. And that's kind of stuck with me a lot. You know, I try to, you know, find that time where I can, you know, really digress and think about that stuff because it kind of centers me and it helps me a lot. But the memories I have are just with, you know, some great teammates. I keep in contact with a couple guys from back then. And we just, you know, we enjoyed our time in college. You know, I had a chance to leave early my junior year. But, you know, I had to put that on hold just because I wanted a chance to win a championship with them. And I was having a great time being a college athlete. You know, that's a hidden thing. So many times we're quick to be adults. But, you know, being a college athlete and, you know, really dedicating yourself to what you want to do at the next level and taking that time to do it, I think is very underrated. You know, I was able to graduate in 4 years and get my degree in early education, and I'll always take that with me.
And I think that's, you know, great advice to some of the you know, the younger kids who are in college now and maybe not appreciating it as much as they should. So, guys, listen to Cam Hayward. Have fun while you got the chance.
Yes, sir.
Well, Cam, that's we're gonna have to wrap up with that. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Voices for Victory podcast, and for all the great work you're doing in the community. We really appreciate your hard work.
Yes, sir, and just thank you guys for having me. You know, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys, and you know, reminisce about some good times.
Thanks again to everyone who tuned in for another episode of the Voices for Victory podcast. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts so that you can find our newest episodes as soon as they're posted. And don't forget, we live for 5-star reviews. Please toss us one if you enjoy the pod.
Yes, please. And also, if you want to find more information about the V Foundation, visit v.org. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at the V Foundation.
Until next time.
To me, there are three things we all should do every day. We do this every day of our life. You're going to have, what a wonderful, number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.